Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for Liberty.me, the social network and community-based publishing platform for the liberty-minded. Liberty.me combines the best of social media technology all in one place and features classes, discussions, guides, events, publishing, podcasts, and so much more. And Jeffrey Tucker and I are starting a new monthly show at Liberty.me, Eye on the Empire. It's just $4 a month if you use promo code Scott when you sign up. And hey, once you do, add me as a friend on there at scotthorton.liberty.me. Be free. Liberty.me. All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. And our next guest is Charlotte Silver. She writes for Electronic Intifada and Al Jazeera and quite a few other publications here. She's at Alternet, at Truthout, all over the place. And the subject is the sentencing of Rasmia Ode. Welcome back to the show, Charlotte. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for bringing me back on.
Very happy to have you here. Tell us again, please, who is Rasmia Ode?
Rasmia Ode is a 67-year-old woman from Palestine, and she immigrated to America in 1995 and became a citizen around 10 years ago. And in 2013, the U.S. government indicted her for immigration fraud, for lying on her immigration and naturalization forms after they had unearthed a 45-year-old criminal record from an Israeli military court. And this indictment was the product of what many of her supporters and her defense called a fishing expedition into the Palestinian American and Solidarity movement in the Midwest, wherein in 2010 they raided several activists' homes looking for evidence that would link them to terrorists. And they found nothing, but Rasmia Ode was the one person. She worked with the Arab American Action Network, which was targeted. And they, by subpoenaing records from Israel, they found this very old record with an Israeli military court.
Right. And now, so what was it exactly, her criminal record from Palestine?
Okay. Right. So she was accused and charged of helping to detonate a series of bombings in Jerusalem on behalf of the PFLP. And she was arrested from her home and almost immediately subjected to brutal, what she has described in writing and elsewhere, very brutal torture and ultimately raped. And she signed a confession as a result of this torture, and which was presented in front of the military court, and was convicted of terrorism, sentenced to life in prison, and was released 10 years later as a result of a prisoner exchange. The Israeli military court has a nearly 100% conviction rate and is known by most human rights organizations, by the UN, and even by the U.S. State Department as not providing the kind of standards of justice that any U.S. court should consider as valid. And so the fact that this criminal background in Israel was used against her in a U.S. criminal proceedings was problematic from the start.
Yeah, well, you'd think so. Now, I guess their argument is that it doesn't do they even make the argument that it doesn't matter whether the conviction was legitimate or not? It doesn't matter whether her confession was tortured out of her or not. It only matters that she didn't say on the form that, yeah, I was convicted of something, and that's a crime. That's all we need to know.
Right. And the government sort of spoke out of two sides of its mouth in this. They did focus on the fact that the veracity of the conviction wasn't really at stake as much as the fact that she failed to disclose this. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, they really hammered home on the severity of the crime. And during the trial in November, mm-hmm. They focused on, you know, the fact that two people were killed during these attacks, sort of they didn't use the word terrorism. They were barred from using the word terrorism, but the kind of terror it wreaked on this community was used as to emphasize that that the lie was a serious lie, and that is why she's now being prosecuted, even 10 years after her naturalization, 45 years after the crime. And the judge tried to also say that he didn't want to retry. He didn't want to try to decide whether or not she was guilty or not of the bombings. And that was one of his justifications for significantly curtailing what the defense was allowed to
present. Right. He doesn't want to retry it, meaning she can't defend herself from these accusations that the prosecution is perfectly allowed to make against her over and over again throughout the whole thing.
Right. And what was interesting during the sentencing trial, the sentencing phase of this, was that whole pretense that it wasn't the crime that was at stake. It was the lie on the immigration forms. The prosecution completely drew back its veil, and they made the sentencing entirely about what she was convicted of in 1969.
But she was not allowed, correct me if I'm wrong here, she was not allowed, her defense was not allowed to introduce into evidence the fact that she was brutalized in any way. Is that correct?
Right. She was not allowed to mention torture. She was not allowed to mention the occupation. She was not allowed to mention anything about sort of the wider political circumstances of the time. So the jury just heard two bombs went off. She was convicted. She spent 10 years in prison. And on her immigration forms, there is no mention of this. And so it was from the jury's perspective, it was a very clear cut case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From the jury's perspective, they're a bunch of idiots who let the government do with their mind whatever they want. Well, geez, I guess if they want me to convict this lady, I mean, I don't know. I've never been on a jury, especially not a federal one, but it seems like it'd be pretty impossible for them to not know, even if they don't know exactly what's excluded, to not be able to tell that they're not getting the whole story here. You know what I mean?
Right. And, you know, I've also never served on a jury. And it's hard to know. I think that the judge, it's very ceremonious being sort of inducted into a jury,
A deputy prosecutor for a week.
That, and also you're entering a world that you don't know anything about, and so you are sort of, you put yourself into the hands of the judge's instructions. And the judge's instructions were very clearly, we are trying to decide if she lied on her immigration forms. You're not trying to decide if you feel sympathy for her. You're not trying to decide if she actually committed the crimes she was convicted of. And so that sort of narrowness of the confines of the trial and what the jury was supposed to decide, I think made it somewhat of an inevitable conclusion.
And now, so how long did he sentence her for?
So yesterday he sentenced her to 18 months in prison. He revoked her citizenship, and she would spend those 18 months in prison before being deported to Jordan. And, you know, this sentence, as difficult as it is to imagine, someone who's 67 years old, who has health problems. I mean, she spent a month in jail right following her conviction in November. If you recall, it was very shocking to her and all of her supporters that the, United States argued to revoke her bond, and the judge, agreed. So she went immediately to jail following the conviction in November, and she spent a month, and it was very, very hard on her physically, in addition to emotionally, of course. And so 18 months in jail is not going to be easy, but it was a relief considering that the prosecution had argued that she should spend 5 to 7 years in prison. And this is an extraordinary departure from what the sentencing guidelines, which are about 12 to 18 months for the offense she was convicted of.
And remember, everybody, this started just as a fishing expedition. Let's see what we can get her on, which is the exact opposite of how it's supposed to work in the United States of America. But anyway, thank you so much, Charlotte, for covering this case. Very important.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That's Charlotte Silver. Everybody, she's at Al Jazeera and Electronic Intifada. libertarianlife.net. They have a great new one on this story here. You hate government? One of them libertarian types? Or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers? Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. Hey, y'all, run out and get a copy of Embedded Alive, First-Person Journalism in the United States of America, 2013 through 14 by Chris Braswell. The book takes a gonzo look at daily life in America, columns, informational letters, and other marketplace vigilance, a look at drug abuse culture and its marketing, and a series of contemplative and metaphysical essays. Get Embedded Alive, First-Person Journalism in the United States of America, 2013 through 14, in paperback, hardcover, and digital formats at FusePowder.com.